Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Jim Garrity is off at what I think is called BlogCon, which is short for Blogger Convention. Daniel Foster, the news editor at National Review Online, is here as usual in his stead. Dan, it's always great to have you. Let's talk a little bit about the good martini, first of all, and that is John Boehner making a pretty strong statement to Charlie Rose of the CBS Morning Show about President Obama. He basically accused the president of lacking courage last year to finalize the grand bargain. I know conservatives have mixed views on whether that would have really been a good idea or not. Charlie Rose eventually said, "Do you think we're going to see anything significant related to the economy or really anything else?" And here's what Boehner had to say, which for him is pretty darn candid.
"Will anything happen between now and the election?"
"I would hope so, but I'm not optimistic. The president checked out last Labor Day. All he's done is campaign full-time for the last 6 months. He has not been engaged in the legislative process at all. There's been no effort at trying to work with Democrats and Republicans to address this issue at all. And it's shameful."
Now, Dan, I don't know how many votes or minds the speaker's going to sway, given who he is and what his position is, but it's good to hear Boehner having a strong backbone on this particular issue and letting people know that at least there's a Republican argument out there that outside of Obama's speeches before the cameras, he has no interest whatsoever in getting things done, and certainly with working with Republicans.
"Yeah, and it's actually good news, Greg, I think, that the president has turned his attention away from legislating, considering his record of accomplishments, dubious accomplishments, as a proponent of legislation. I agree. Speaker Boehner and Majority Leader Cantor today had some strong words in support of Romney and criticizing the president. I think it's good that the leadership in the House is getting on board the 2012 train and the party's finally coming together. Every 4 years there's a contested primary, and every 4 years those of us in our line of business worry about whether the party's going to be able to all start pulling in the same direction. And every 4 years they do. And I think we're starting to see that. The message has been pretty good, pretty clear. Even Romney's sounded tough. And I think that it's going to be the start of you're starting to see the polls tighten up and Romney with a narrow lead in some of them. I think it's the start of a good swing for Republicans over the next few months. We have to sustain it, though."
Absolutely. The national polls looking good. Some of the key state polls need to look better. But like you just said, you got over 6 months to work on that. On to another reason why the president should not be reelected, and that's the weekly jobless numbers. Usually the monthly reports is kind of where we focus our attention, and probably rightly so. But the president has made such a big deal, and the news media certainly had in recent months, about the weekly jobless numbers dipping below 350,000. And, well, they're not there anymore. The latest number is 388,000 first-time jobless folks reporting for unemployment benefits. And the numbers from the week before were revised upward. For years and years, 400,000 was kind of the magic number. In more recent years, it's been dipped down to 350,000, probably because the labor market has contracted so severely during the Obama administration. But, Dan, if we saw the recovery, I think most of us missed it.
Yeah, I mean, we saw the administration get excited over a good jobs report last month, but there were a lot of weird little one-time factors in that, the unseasonably warm weather of the winter, a lot of stuff going on. And the overall indicators, if you read any of the economics boffins at NRO, Kevin Hassett, Sam Staley, Doug Holtz-Eakin, they'll tell you that there's still plenty of cause for concern structurally. We still have people leaving the labor force in unsustainable numbers that aren't indicative of any kind of long-term recovery in the labor market. And let's not forget that all of Europe is teetering on the brink of a bottomless abyss. It's a chain reaction that could really set off any time and would almost certainly lead to at least a mild double-dip recession in the United States if there's some sort of broader major crisis in the EU. So we are not out of the woods by a long shot.
Well, that's sad news because it's been almost 4 years now since the financial collapse. And if you look at the U.S. historically, outside of the Great Depression, our turnaround ability in response to any recession is much, much faster than this, and certainly much stronger in the terms of growth that we usually see coming out of this. And we're just not seeing it this time. On to martini number three now. And Dan, It's the second Secret Service scandal in less than a week. We are not talking this time, though, about agents down in Colombia and prostitutes and that whole sordid situation. Now it's Newt Gingrich. And Newt Gingrich has nothing to do with the Colombia story. But he is still drawing Secret Service protection. And, Dan, I thought in the past Secret Service protection was given to candidates who are considered viable. And I realized that after he won South Carolina, he probably was considered viable, and rightly so, and maybe even to some people after he won his home state of Georgia. But apparently once you get that status, you don't lose it until you drop out, because I don't think there's anybody at this point who still thinks that Newt Gingrich has a real shot at winning this, except for a few folks on Twitter and possibly Newt himself.
Yeah, and it's not the worst waste of taxpayer money I've ever heard of, or certainly not the worst probably that happened today. but it is a waste of taxpayer money, and you know, it's the other problem is that it's just fitting with Gingrich's character, that his inflated sense of himself, his grandiloquence, his massive head. I'm sure that he loves it. And we had this UNC student journalist last week who had scored an interview, gone through the proper channels in the Gingrich campaign, and scored an interview with Gingrich, and was cut off in the middle of his first question and escorted away by the Secret Service because Gingrich didn't like the question and couldn't handle it. Now, that's not the sort of business that the Secret Service should be involved in. It is a little silly that, you know, he's not viable and he still has protection. But on the other hand, I guess we don't want to tie Secret Service protection to some level in the polls or something. So I don't know what the solution is. I mean, besides Newt just doing the right thing and ending this farce once and for all.
Yeah, still tens of thousands of dollars a day, though, for that detail. It's not $15.5 trillion, certainly, or the $5 trillion that Obama's racked up, but it certainly doesn't bode well for anyone claiming to be a fiscal tightwad when your campaign is almost $5 million in debt and you're bilking the taxpayers for more for a campaign that clearly isn't going to end up with a nomination. So, Dan, we'll leave it there for today. Enjoy the rest of your day there in the Big Apple, and we'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thanks a lot, Greg.
Dan Foster is the news editor at National Review Online. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Friday, our favorite edition of the week, for the 3 Martini Lunch.